गौर भक्त वृंद की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट नंबर 18 तस्याय वहेतो प्रयतेत कोविदो न लभ्यते यद् ब्रह्मताम् उपरि अधा तल्लभ्यते दुखवाद् अन्यता सुखम् कालेन सर्वत्र गभीररम्हसा तस्य फॉर दैट पर्पस एव ओनली हेतो रीजन प्रयतेत should endeavor kovidha one who is philosophically inclined na not labhyate is not obtained yat what brahmatam wandering upari adha from top to bottom tat that labhyate can be obtained dukhavat like the miseries anyatah as a result of previous work sukham sense enjoyment kalena in course of time sarvatra everywhere gabhira subtle ramhasa progress translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet Brahmalok down to the lowest planet Patal. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time, just as in course of time we obtain miseries even though we do not desire them. Purport. Every man everywhere is trying to obtain the greatest amount of sense enjoyment by various endeavors. Some men are busy engaged in trade, industry, economic development, political supremacy, etc. And some of them are engaged in fruitive work to become happy in the next life by attaining higher planets. It is said that on the moon the inhabitants are fit for greater sense enjoyment by drinking soma ras, and the pitriloka is obtained by good charitable work. So there are various programs for sense enjoyment either during this life or in the life after death. Some are trying to reach the moon or other planets by some mechanical arrangement, for they are very anxious to get into such planets without doing good work. But it is not to happen. By the law of the Supreme, different places are meant for different grades of living beings according to the work they have performed. By good work only, as prescribed in the scriptures, can one obtain birth in a good family, opulence, good education and good bodily features. We see also that even in this life one obtains a good education or money by good work. Similarly, in our next birth we get such desirable positions only by good work. Otherwise it would not so happen that two persons born in the same place at the same time are seen differently placed according to previous work. But all such material positions are impermanent. The positions in the topmost Brahmaloka and in the lowest Patal are also changeable according to our own work. The philosophically inclined person must not be tempted by such changeable positions. He should try to get into the permanent life of bliss and knowledge, where he will not be forced to come back again to the miserable material world, either in this or that planet. Miseries and mixed happiness are two features of material life, and they are obtained in Brahmalok and in other lokas also. They are obtained in the life of the demigods and also in the life of the dogs and hogs. The miseries and mixed happiness of all living beings are only of different degree and quality. But no one is free from the miseries of birth, death, old age and disease. Similarly, everyone has his destined happiness also. No one can get more or less of these things simply by personal endeavors. Even if they are obtained, they can be lost again. One should not, therefore, waste time with these flimsy things. One should only endeavor to go back to Godhead. That should be the mission of everyone's life. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Muldam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this section of Bhagavatam, there are so many important verses. Actually, every verse of the Bhagavatam is very important. But this section is, if we hear Prabhupada's lectures, he quotes this verse a lot, and even the previous one. So yesterday we heard how one who has forsaken his material occupations to engage in the path of bhakti, even if he falls down, there is no loss, because they have engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness, of bhakti yoga. So any endeavor performed in this path, there is no loss or diminution, because it stays eternally to our credit. Whereas if we are only engaged in material occupations, then what's the gain? Because ultimately, it's all temporary. So in this verse, Narad Muni is actually mentioning that those who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should only endeavor for that purposeful end which is not obtainable by wandering from the topmost planet to the lowest planet. So here, the understanding of intelligence and being philosophically inclined is quite different to the modern conception. So in today's society, being intelligent means to maybe acquire good material education. So whether we have got good grades in school, or we have good grades in universities, we have good, nice degrees, we have so many degrees. Or being intelligent means to figure out ways how we can get our sense gratification. So, you know, you just somehow, you're with the right people at the right time, right place, and you know how to move your way through the material world and get your sense gratification. So that's the understanding of intelligence. Or intelligence means understanding, reasoning, abstract thought, like that. But the definition of intelligence according to the Vedic literature, according to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is quite different. So if someone is philosophically inclined, that means they are actually searching for self-realization. They are actually trying to find out that they are the spirit soul and what they are part of. So that's what it means by philosophically inclined. So I was just looking up on Wikipedia, just the understanding of philosophy. So philosophy is the study of general and fundamental problems such as those connected with existence, knowledge, values, reason, mind and language. So what makes philosophy different from other branches of knowledge is that its approach is critical and systematic with a rational approach. Or even you could say people who have the love of wisdom. So these days we see, even materially speaking, people are not very philosophically inclined. If you see in universities, few years ago, or there were more students, 20, 30 years ago, more students were being enrolled in philosophy courses. But if you check in the universities now, then the philosophy department doesn't have so many students. So even materially speaking, people are not so philosophically inclined. Everyone is just simply concerned about living in the moment, just getting sense gratification. So that's pretty much the vision of most people these days. So even students are undertaking so many other kinds of courses which will so they can basically have a good career set in front of them. But as it's mentioned here, philosophically inclined means to inquire into the purpose of our existence, into who we are. And even intelligence means to understand that whatever the material world has to offer is nothing in comparison to devotional service. So the best thing even what the material world can offer actually has no substance. It has no value in comparison to devotional service. So that's what it means when that somebody is intelligence. They have intelligence. So the modern understanding is, okay, I'm intelligent, I can figure out ways how to get my sense gratification. But in the spiritual sense, intelligence means to understand, to actually think about life. And not only think, but even to approach the right sources. Because there are many people, there are people who like to think and speculate and put forward theories about life, how it comes about and what's the purpose of life. But because we are so limited, all the speculations we put forward are actually not perfect because they are speculations. But if we approach the Vedic literature like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we actually understand what it means to be intelligent and philosophically inclined. So real intelligence is to understand, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that material happiness and distress are coming by their own accord, according to our karma. So we cannot get a drop more or a drop less. So by our personal endeavors, we cannot alter the amount of happiness and distress we are supposed to get. So this can be a very hard point to understand. So many people think that if everything is predestined, then there is no free will. So therefore, this is a fatalistic religion, or Krishna consciousness or Hinduism is fatalistic. But even in everything which is predestined, still we have a choice at every moment how we act based on our destiny. So depending where we are born or what kind of body we have, what amount of wealth we have, then again we have a free will how we use all these things. And then again we are setting our future destiny. So everyone is thinking that they are actually the doer. Karta means the doer. So the tendency of the conditioned soul, being bound by false ego, is to think that he or she is the doer of his activities. So when we think we are the doer of the activities, then we think that we can actually, it is in our control how much happiness and distress we get. But as it's mentioned here, the amount of happiness and distress we get is actually not in our control. It is being sanctioned by the laws of nature according to our karma. So, but if we don't understand this point, we will actually endeavor for more and more material happiness. But if we understand this point, we can actually save ourselves a lot of trouble. So that we'll understand that our happiness is actually in serving Krishna. So when we serve Krishna without seeking any happiness in return, we are naturally satisfied. But when we try to make ourselves happy by our own personal endeavors, that will actually not satisfy us. And even if we might, so people think, okay, I'll endeavor so much and I'll get so much result. I'll get so much money, I can get a better job, I can rise in the corporate ladder, I can get a better house. We might even get all these things, but the amount of happiness we experience will still be the same. So So, but that doesn't mean we don't do anything, because happiness and distress, material happiness and distress is predestined. Therefore, if we just, you know, sit around, everything will happen by itself. So the point is, whether we engage in activities for personal happiness or we don't, still we are going to suffer or enjoy the same amount of material happiness and distress. And even in Krishna consciousness, this point is actually very important to understand, that our material happiness and distress is actually predestined. We, by our own endeavors, we cannot change it. So we simply have to engage in devotional service. And actually, when one takes up the process of Krishna consciousness, then actually Krishna takes charge of a karma. Then it's Krishna karma, it's not ordinary karma. So then Krishna gives us what our karma, what is required for our purification in bhakti. So Krishna will give us the amount of suffering or material distressful situations we have to undergo in order to become more serious in bhakti. And Krishna will give us the amount of material, the comforts or happiness what we can handle. So that once we take up to Krishna consciousness, then it's not karma working ordinarily as it works for other people. But actually Krishna takes charge of it, and then Krishna will give us what we need in order to advance in bhakti. So as it's mentioned here that everyone, every man everywhere is trying to obtain the greatest amount of sense enjoyment by various endeavors. So we can see people are endeavoring in so many ways, as mentioned here. Some men are busy and engaged in trade, industry, economic development, political supremacy, etc., etc. So by engaging in trade, but it's actually the same thing. It's the mentality of the conditioned living entity to lord it over material nature. So when the conditioned living entity comes in contact with matter, it wants to lord it over others and thinks that in such a way one will actually get happiness. And as Prabhupada mentions here that miseries, in the purport, miseries and mixed happiness are two features of material life. And the miseries and mixed happiness of all jivas is of different degree and quality. So even from the topmost planet to the lowest planet, there are different degrees of happiness and distress. So the earth is called the Martya Loka. So on the earth, there is mixed happiness and mixed distress. Whereas on the higher planets, there is more happiness, though more material happiness. And as you go lower, in the lower planets, there's more distress. So on the earth planet, there's a mixture of both. And even the demigods, they actually prefer to take birth on the earth planet. Because what happens when you have too much material happiness, one gets carried away by that. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhogashvarya prasaktanam, taya parita chetasam. That one's determination to engage in Krishna consciousness becomes slackened when one is bewildered by material opulence. Bhoga and Aishwarya, enjoyment and opulence. So they in itself are not the problem, it's the problem is with us, because we are seeing it as separate from Krishna. So that's not Maya. Maya is actually within our own mind. We are seeing it as separate from Krishna. But once we see it in relationship to Krishna, these things don't bewilder us. But in the conditioned stage, when we see it as separate from Krishna, and then when we try to lord it over, we get affected by it. So in the higher realms, because there's so much material enjoyment, the standard of material enjoyment is much higher than what it is here. Just like even on this planet, we have different levels of material enjoyment. So on the higher realms, the level of beauty, opulence, material wealth, comfort is much higher than what is here on earth. So therefore the demigods even get bewildered about the purpose of life. And they have so much power because they are actually administrating different departments of the universe. So they have a lot of power, they get carried away by it. So they also prefer to take birth on the earth planet, especially in Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga there are so many problems. So that actually behooves one to approach Krishna consciousness or a spiritual master. So, but an intelligent person is someone who actually understands that this world is temporary and the pleasures this world offers is also temporary. And on top of that, whatever I'm getting is according to my karma. So that's what it means by intelligence, to understand all this. So to the degree we understand this, to that degree we won't endeavor for material happiness, even in our pursuit of bhakti yoga. So to the degree we understand this, we'll actually take more and more shelter of Krishna. We'll understand that if I simply serve Krishna, then everything else will be taken care of. I don't have to worry for my own material happiness. I simply have to serve Krishna, and then Krishna will do the rest. So, are there any questions or comments?
Yeah.
Yes, Prabhu.
As you said very correctly, people are inclined for sense gratification. They are looking for a red Ferrari and just going after that. And all their time they are wasting in the clubs and pubs and there is nothing. But actually, just like Prabhupada said, two words, Sumedhisha and Alpamedhisha. Sumedhisha is a real devotee. Was taking care of the chanting and taking care of Lord Krishna's service all the time. And Alpamedhisha style. You know.
Yes, Prabhu.
You're talking about different types of intelligence. Intuition or sixth sense. Would this fall under material intelligence or spiritual intelligence?
Intuition means.
Can you please repeat the question?
He's saying, is intuition spiritual intelligence or material intelligence? Like you get a feeling.
Yes. Either a sense for what's going to happen, or a sense of danger is over there, or.
It's called what?
You could call it street smart.
Street smart. That's not actually spiritual intelligence. Because it's in no way that's basically, you know, I'm not sure what it is. It's basically your gut feeling, basically, you know, to do this or that. But spiritual intelligence actually means when you engage in bhakti. That's spiritual intelligence.
But you don't know what intuition is.
Maybe. I'm not sure. It might be your own mind, you know, just telling you things. Might not necessarily be the. Actually, one cannot hear the super soul. Because we cannot hear the super soul, therefore the super soul manifests as the external spiritual master. Because the super soul is actually talking to us right in the heart from time immemorial. You know, you surrender to me. All your activities are a waste of time. But we cannot hear those things. Usually it's just our own mind telling us things. Do this, do that. Go here, go there. To hear the super soul actually requires lot of qualification. You need to have a controlled mind, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Then you can hear the Super Soul. Yes. Also, another point is that, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness comes from me. So the Super Soul is guiding the conditioned living entity in its pursuit of material enjoyment. So it will, you know, cover the jiva because of the jiva's desire. Then it will give him knowledge. It will remind him, okay, in the past, you know, these were your desires. So it will give him guidance how to then fulfill those desires. So my understanding is we can hear the Super Soul in that sense. So the Super Soul will guide us in our endeavors for material enjoyment. Because knowledge, forgetfulness and remembrance does come from the Super Soul. Anyone like to add anything on that? Yes, Prabhu.
Is there for us, for living in the functional material world, the intelligent pieces will get them up? And usually, as we know, that's maybe the intelligent. And Super Soul is behind that intelligence. But we don't say still that it is Super Soul is guiding a person, because that is maybe intelligence that guides the person. Even though Super Soul is behind, that may be the intelligence.
Okay.
But, and for a devotee, there can be direct interference of the Super Soul to do this or that. And to the degree of surrender, as I said, God is completely controlled, Krishna is able to extend the direct to the Super Soul. So for us, we can, as a devotee, we don't take guidance from Super Soul naturally. We are practicing devotee, we don't think of what Super Soul says to do next. We take guidance from Sadhana Shastra, Guru Shastra. We don't depend on those things. Even if he has such a, it is said, even if he has some guidance with him, it could be from Super Soul. For a devotee, he still should verify from
Guru and Sadhana Shastra.
So that, you know, it's hard if I cannot depend on the public, we are not a pure Shastra. But for a pure devotee, that's why I think he can have a direct application and he can lead that according to him. Still, it doesn't mean he doesn't still refer to Shastra or Guru. Who was this Shastra?
Yeah. Thank you. It's a good question. Yeah, so yeah, it makes it quite clear. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.